I'm pulling out of the parking lot. You all know what that means. It's time. Well, actually, you might not know what it means because it's time for drive from work. I don't do a lot of drive from works, but normally when I have a guest, the guest comes with me. So in the evening, we go home, and I don't have a lot of opportunity to have guests. So Scott, say hi.
Hello.
So Scott Van Essen was in the last podcast all about the Transformers TCG. So we're doing another podcast, this time about, what is it about?
It's about Kaladesh.
Yeah, so what I decided was, Scott normally works on Duel Masters, but one of the cool things about working at Wizards is occasionally you get to work on Magic, if you don't work on Magic all the time. And Scott was on the team for Kaladesh, so I thought it'd be interesting to hear about, I've talked about Kaladesh, but I thought it'd be neat to hear from Kaladesh from a different perspective. So Scott, talk about how you ended up on the Kaladesh team.
Sure. Well, Mark, as you mentioned, I began working here on the Duel Masters team, and I'd been there for a while. And people had told me that it takes a while before you get on a Magic team because they sort of plan these things out fairly far in advance. But as I understand it, there was some personnel switching and some a spot opened up early, and so I was asked if I wanted to join, and I thought for about 3 milliseconds and then said absolutely yes.
Yeah, I mean, what happened behind the scenes on my side is there was an opening, and I said, hey, how about Scott? Because obviously I knew you from the Great Designer Search, and I was interested in having you on design team. So I thought, and I knew that we were doing, Kaladesh had an adventures vibe I knew about, and anyway, I thought you'd be well suited for it, so.
Well, I had a great time being on the team, and I'm looking forward to talking all about that.
Okay, so what is your memory? What's your earliest memory of the Kaladesh design team?
One of the earliest things we knew coming in, or at least we had a very strong feeling coming in, that energy was going to be one of the main primary mechanics of this, and so I guess you'd come out of not vision, but exploratory design,
yeah,
knowing that energy was a good. Was a good mechanic. So one of the very first things we did was we said, how can we do energy? And we talked about different ways that we could do energy. So one of the ways we explored was what you've seen here, where we have energy as a counter on a player. We explored a couple of other versions. Mm-hmm. One of them was sort of a charge countery version, which is where energy ended up initially, but these were just sort of counters on creatures.
The way that one worked is they were the cards that generated the energy had counters on them, and then you would use the counters off them.
Right.
So instead of being on a player, it was kind of banked on different things. But if your opponent ever got rid of those things, you'd lost the energy that were on those things.
Right.
But any card that used energy could grab it from anywhere.
Right, and we initially liked the idea of exploring that because it gave some more interaction, but we also felt that it really took away from the modularity of energy, and in the trade-offs we decided that it was better to just have energy be something that's a little more protected, a little safer from your opponent's interaction. One of my very first pitches was a really weird energy thing, which was that it was some sort of virtual token. It was like a token that became attached to a creature. So it was like sort of some sort of token aura or token attachment.
Yeah.
And it was consumed the same way, but it could be interacted with, and you could just stick it anywhere. And I had proposed ideas of, here's a creature that is an ordinary creature, but when it is energized, it powers up in some ways. And so it's very, one of the real problems with that is that it became very parasitic and, like, it was an A-B mechanic where this thing only worked in the concept in the context of Kaladesh. And so that was one of, I'm sure, several reasons why we ended up not going with that version of the mechanic.
Yeah, so what had happened was, in exploratory design, we actually explored a couple different ways to do energy. And I was pretty sure coming out of exploratory how I wanted to do it, but I wanted the team to sort of try and experiment a couple different things. And essentially the team came to the same conclusion the exploratory design team did, which was the one that everyone obviously has played with.
Yes. The next thing that I remember spending a lot of time on was vehicles.
Which also came out of exploratory design.
Right. And we had...
Normal design figured out how to do them. We knew we wanted vehicles coming out of exploratory design, but they weren't... Like, Energy came out exploratory pretty close to how we did Energy. Vehicles went through a bunch of changes.
That's right. I think, you know, in exploratory design and even sort of talking about the block just around R&D before this, it was a slam dunk that we wanted to do vehicles. We just, we went through a lot of different iterations. Some of the ones that I recall us going through, we went through one that was really like reverse equipment almost. It was, you had to pay mana to sort of put the creature into the vehicle, and then I believe you may have even had to pay mana to get the creature out of the vehicle. It ended up being very slow and also feeling just too much like equipment. And one of the things we wanted to do was make sure that this felt significantly different from how equipment worked.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that the equipment, sorry, the equipment, the idea that the vehicle became a creature happened later. That wasn't one of our early incarnations of it. And even then, when we handed off vehicles to development, crew N meant tap N creatures, not N power of creatures.
That's right. And we, that was one of those cases. You've talked about how when design is, the difference between sort of design and what play design brings to looking at a mechanic, where sort of design plays it in the most fun way, and play design says, yes, that's nice, but here's how it will actually be played.
And in competitive.
In competitive levels, yes. Yeah. And one of the things that they said to us just from the start, they're like, look, anything with crew of greater than one will just never be played. It's too much of a cost at top level competitive levels. And we were very sad about that. We wanted to, you know, have points where you said, hey, I put two creatures, you know, it's a really big vehicle, I want to put two or three creatures into it. So fortunately, we were able to steal that, the power base version from, was it Ixalan that we stole it from?
Yeah, you stole it from Ixalan. Yeah, but what happened, the real quick version of this is, we were trying to come up with a way to explore lands, like we were playing around with the double-faced lands, and one of our earlier versions was you had to sort of conquer the land, or not conquer, but you had to stake claim on the land, and the way you did that is by tapping creatures, but to separate it from equipment, we made it total number of power rather than total number of creatures to make it different. And then when development was struggling, I went to them and said, hey guys, here's something we messed around with in Ixalan that maybe you want to think about. And it ended up, that's what they ended up going with.
There's another thing that we spent a lot of time going back and forth on was, were vehicles creatures all the time that just couldn't attack or block until you activated them?
Oh, right, yeah.
Or were they artifacts that turned into creatures? And there were a number of rules interactions and confusions, but there were several reasons we went with the way we did. One of which was we wanted these things to survive, be a little safer from removal, and to survive board wipes. And we also, we really didn't like the, oh, I've got a vehicle that's empty and nobody's driving it, but because it's a creature, it could crew another vehicle.
Yeah.
That was very weird, and it would have required us to say non-vehicle, you know, crew
right,
by a non-vehicle.
Right, vehicles couldn't, yeah.
Yeah. We actually talked about, you know, we still had the problem with, not problem, we still had the situation with the current implementation, which is that, oh, a crewed vehicle could crew another vehicle, but we decided that that was better, more net coolness. Like, it's a little weird in some ways, but it's also really cool when you get into your helicopter and then your helicopter gets into a tank.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen very often, too. The problem with the other version was when they were always creatures, we had to specify because it was just too easy to use your unequipped vehicle and crew a vehicle with it.
Right.
Okay, so one of the things that I know we did is we came up with originally five mechanics for the set. By the time the dust settled, there were only three mechanics in the set. But do you want to talk about the two mechanics that didn't make it?
Sure. So one of the mechanics was called Reverse Engineer. And the sort of shorthand version of this was you heat shimmer an artifact. You get an artifact. It has haste if it's a creature until the end of the turn.
You made a token. You copied a token.
Right, you made a token copy of the artifact. You gave it haste. And then you could attack with it if it was a creature. You could use its abilities if it was a non-creature.
Right.
And then you lost it in the turn. And we felt that was very flavorful for the world we were trying to create. And it just gave us lots of opportunities for combining different artifacts and being very Johnny with Johnny or Jenny with the set, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a fun mechanic. It was a complicated mechanic, And it definitely, it was like I think we couldn't put it a common just because we don't do copying a common.
Yeah.
And so it was, I think the reason it ended up getting removed was we didn't want five mechanics. And while there's some cool, fun things that happened with it, I think we ended up putting it on Saheeli, right? One of her abilities was that.
Being one of her abilities.
Okay, the other mechanic I don't think we've ever talked about.
That's right. This was another one where the dream of the mechanic was wonderful, but it got bogged down a little bit in the realities. This mechanic was initially called Gadgeteer, but then we changed it to Invent because that felt more exciting and more appropriate to the world.
And okay, so how did Invent work?
I'm glad you asked that, Mark. Invent worked was a keyword action that would go on a creature, and it might be when this creature enters the battlefield.
Not just creatures; it could go on artifacts.
Or it could be pay some mana to invent, or it could be a writer on a spell. It could be draw two cards, then invent. And what Invent said was, get a gadget or an invention from your sideboard or from outside of the game and put it into your hand.
And so what these were was they were cards that you couldn't put in your deck. And that they did, most of it did smaller things. And the idea was that the flavor of this was that I could sort of on the fly invent things. And so whatever I needed in the moment, I could go get. And the idea was there were a bunch of these inventions and that whenever you invented, you got the invention that you needed. But they were all kind of small, niche-y sort of effects.
That's right. The idea was that you would get what you needed in the moment. You would say, man, I really wish I had some esoteric effect. And lo and behold, you were smart enough to draft it, or you had added it to your sideboard when you're building your constructed deck, and it was there to save you when you needed it. The idea was they were never super powerful effects. They were just the right trinkety effect in the moment.
So why isn't it in the set? There are a couple reasons. One of the biggest problems we had with it was when development started looking at it, it's essentially a tutoring mechanic. And while they were small effects, the problem was if you don't balance it correctly, then people keep getting the same one. That instead of being, what effects you want, that people tend to gravitate towards certain effects. And in order to balance it, it's really hard. So we were trying to make niche-y things that this might not be useful a lot of the time, but in the right situation, at the right time, it might be very useful. The other problem was there was a lot of complexity that went into sort of balancing it. Essentially what happened was they came back to us and they said, look, energy is going to take a lot of work to balance. Invent is going to take a lot of work to balance. Which do you care more about? Because we can't do both. And we picked, it was an easy pick. Energy was so basic to what the set was. We picked energy.
Yeah, and I suppose there's always hope that something similar to Invent will be put into a future set. But it was fun to draft, and it was fun to make those decisions about how you had drafted it. But in the end, the biggest problem I had is I always had to try to make it fun. Like, it wasn't fun on its own as much as it was I really wanted it to be fun, and I was always looking for opportunities to make it what I wanted it to be, which is a very dangerous place to be as a designer. You have to give yourself a little bit of distance to say, is this fun when you're not trying to make it fun? And that's one of the tricks.
Yeah, for the people that want, the closest we've done is, they're not exactly, but contraptions in Unstable has a little bit of you had to draft the contraptions in order to play the contraptions, and whether or not, one of the things you can do in Unstable is, I can draft one contraption, and then every time I assemble, I know for sure what I'm going to get, I only have one contraption. Or I can draft a bunch of them, and then have a little bit of variety. Now, contraptions, you don't control the order, because it's random, where you control the order in Invention. But it's the closest we've done that something in that space, I think.
Right, and I think also contraptions are a great way to say, here is how you can take a similar mechanic, but force the fun by making it a little more random.
Right, and the fact that, for example, when you're building your contraption, it only happens every so often, and you're sort of putting together different things together, definitely, there's a little bit, we made Even though Unstable came out after Kaladesh, a lot of Unstable was designed before Kaladesh. In fact, originally, it was supposed to come out right before Kaladesh. Originally it was going to come out a year before that. But at one point, it was going to come out right before Kaladesh, and we decided not to have two steampunk sets right by each other. And so we ended up pushing it back again.
Yeah. Since we're talking about mechanics, I have a fun little anecdote to share about another of the mechanics.
Okay.
Which is Fabricate.
Okay.
Now, I thought it was very cool and was very impressive to me, but Mark, you actually designed Fabricate in about 30 seconds. We were talking, we had a problem, we had been pulling mechanics out because we were trying to bring the complexity down. We were fairly late in design, and we needed a mechanic that was simple and that worked well with what the set was doing. And you sort of, I watched you talk through, well, what's the set doing? Well, we need something that works well with plus one counters, because we had a little bit of plus one tribal, and we're just doing some stuff, a little more stuff than a regular set does with plus one counters. And we need to care about artifacts. We want something that's getting a few more artifacts there, because we have a lot of artifacts going on. We had cards that had artifacts mattering in one way or another.
Yeah.
And you just talked through that all, and you said, all right, what if you could get either an artifact or a plus one counter? Boom, done, we're good to go.
Well, the basic idea came fast. We spent a lot of time in execution. But,
yes, and I would have to say, of all the cards in the set, those were some of the most fun cards to design, because generally speaking, on average, a plus one counter is not quite as strong as a 1/1 token creature. In fact, early on, I think the first pass, they were 1/1 flying creatures, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, I think they were.
And development said, those are way too strong. So,
right. You always choose the creature.
Right.
And then, so we... One of the challenges that you had to do when you built Fabricate cards is you had to make... Usually you gave them some ability that, if they were a little bit bigger, it'd be better if they were bigger, to sort of encourage you a little bit to do that.
Right. So, if you look at all of the non-common... Fabricate cards, you'll see they have an ability like Lifelink that scales with their size, or they have just something that's asking you to check their power. Marionette Master was one of my favorites of that, where it says, I really want both of these. How do I do that? I think we had, I don't know if it ended up in the set, but we had a card for a while that said, when you would fabricate, choose both modes.
Yeah, we did have that, but... Yeah, there's a card at one point. So one of the things about Innistrad, Kaladesh, sorry. One of the things about Kaladesh was it was Inventor World. So we were trying to make a lot of cool, weird, crazy artifacts and stuff. And I think we had one at one point which just lets you do all modes whenever you had modes.
If you would ever choose a mode, you choose all modes.
Yeah, and I think development said it was broken. But
I wouldn't be surprised if the rules manager had something to say to you as well about that.
I think it worked in the rules. It just was, I think development. If I remember correctly, development killed it, not rules.
Sure, but, I believe that. Yes.
Okay. So what else do you remember? What are the memories you have from making Kaladesh?
So one of my memories, early on we had Proliferate in the set for a while.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did.
We said, hey, we've got some plus one counters, and we've got energy. Proliferate is great, and it was very good, but it was it had the problem of being too good with the plus one counters compared to how good it was with the energy. And so you'd build these Proliferate decks that were just ridiculously, scaling creatures up like you wouldn't believe. And you're like, I got an energy too. That's nice.
Yeah, one of the problems is, so when Proliferate we did it the first time, it was in a set with minus one counters. So when you tended to use it, you tended to put it on your opponent's creatures to shrink them. And it's harder... It's not that easy to put minus one counters on your opponent's creatures without them dying, usually.
Right.
And so there wasn't that many. So when you're proliferating, the fact that you were getting more counters wasn't that big a deal. But plus one counters, that was a major theme of the set, because we were all about invention, and we liked the idea that you were enhancing things. And plus one counters just flavorfully really worked well on the sense of invention. So we had a lot of them in the set. And so Proliferate was just too good.
Yeah.
It just was too good.
Yeah. I just remembered another mechanic. Do you remember Inherit?
Remind me what Inherit was.
Inherit was, it was like Modular, but it was a more limited Modular.
It didn't just go on artifact creatures, right?
It went on any creatures, and it was like a creature that had a normal size, but then it would come with maybe one plus one counter, and it said, it, when I die, you move the plus one counter onto somebody else.
Right. So real quickly, modular only went on artifact creatures. Modular N, they were always 0/0 creatures that got N plus one counters. And when they died, you put them on an artifact creature, a target artifact creature. So the idea of Inherit was, let's strip out the artifactness of it, that it was a creature that could go on any creature. And then instead of being 0/0 with full counters, we tended to put fewer number of counters. So it's like a 3/3 that comes with one counter. So when the 4/4 creature dies, well, one counter gets to go somewhere else, but not the full, not all four of them would go.
Yeah, and that actually ended up being on one card that remained in the set. We just didn't keyword it.
Anything else you remember mechanic wise?
I remember we had a stronger plus one tribal than we ended up having. I think we were too close to what Khan's block had done with plus one tribal, but we had the. I have some notes here, but I can't find it. Doesn't matter. There was a 4-mana card that had you draw a card for each of your creatures with +1/+1 counters.
Yeah, we had a stronger theme, and then it turned out. I think the feedback I got was there already is a reward for having a +1/+1 counter. You're +1/+1. So what we found was we could do a little bit of rewards, but it already is an upgrade, and so you can't give too many rewards because it's already something that's beneficial. One of the things that I know about Kaladesh is we early on had energy, we early on had vehicles, and then we spent a lot of time experimenting with a lot of different things. And then you're right, Fabricate was relatively late in the process.
Yeah, it was right at the end. I think, maybe a month from designing that to handoff, and we got most of the way there. And I mean, it's a wonderful mechanic. It does a lot. It gives you a nice, simple choice. There was a point in time where it was more modular. It was you could just sort of, if you had Fabricate 3, you could make 3 plus 1.
Oh, any combination, right?
We did it in any combination.
I think early on you couldn't choose, and then we tried for a while one where 3 meant you got 3 combinations of between counters and tokens, and you could mix and match. But that ended up being a little more complicated than necessary. That was one of the problems in general, is we ended up making 5 mechanics, and then okay, there's too much going on. We realized we were just making too many things. We're like, okay, let's dial it back a little bit. And I think when we handed over development, we actually had taken out Fabricate, and we turned it over with... when it got turned over to development, it had energy, it had vehicles, and it had invent in it. And then they said, we can't do invent and energy. And we said, okay. And then we said, we suggested, well, why don't you swap with Fabricate?
I remember that. Yeah. Put Fabricate back in.
Because one of the things we had done is design always will give development whatever, anything we've done, we'll give them hey, if this inspires you or you want to use it, here's extra stuff we've made. And so we definitely handed over with some other stuff. And yeah, I remember talking with Eric and making the suggestion of, okay, let's take invention out and put Fabricate in.
Yeah, that's pushed it to a nice, more simplicity, and let us focus on the coolest part, which was the energy.
Okay, so any other memories of Kaladesh?
I remember it was a ton of fun designing with energy. One of my favorite things to do was to take very staple magic effects and just figure out how to put an energy twist on it. Ether Hub as a Tendo Ice Bridge variant was a ton of fun. Lathlude Hellion was one of my favorite cards, which is just, it's your classic red, creature, red aggressive creature that you sacrifice it at the end of the turn. And we were able to say, hey, we can build in a bit of a clock here. So in this version, haste creature. So Lathlude Hellion is a 3-mana 4/4 that comes with 2 energy, and at the end of the turn, you have to either sacrifice it or spend 2 energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a cool card.
And so, it was, it's fun. It's like, here's something that can attack twice on its own, and then you're done with it.
Right, it was a ball lightning variant, I think, was the idea.
Right. And, the energy lets you say, hey, maybe I can have something feed into this and keep it going until the board state says it's no longer a thing you keep around. Or maybe you say, I'm not going to be able to attack next turn because you have something too big. I'm just going to throw it away and keep the energy for later. So it's it was a ton of fun having that flexibility. We turned in a bunch of designs that were classic Magic cards with just a twist of energy. And I think that's one of my favorite parts, is just to say, how can I give an homage to something that we've seen forever, but do the new
version. So what was your favorite energy card you designed that didn't make it?
That did not make it? Well, that was the... I had an early version of the Bristling Hydra. So Bristling Hydra is a 4-mana, 4-4, I believe. It's a Hydra, and it comes with 3 energy. And then you can spend energy. So you can spend 3 energy to give it +1/+1 in hexproof. That's what the final card was. My pitch for that card initially was something completely different that I thought was really fun. Development had a number of problems with it. It was a XG Hydra. So your classic Hydra, it's a 0/0 that comes with X +1/+1 counters and X energy, because we're in an energy set. And then I threw on a fun ability that made sense, which was pay 4 energy, this creature fights anything. And it's possible that development could have fixed it, but they ended up going a different way. That's what happens. You make several hundred cards, you get a couple dozen that you're really happy with that make it into the set.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that, I mean, and now with vision and set design even more so, a lot of design is about sort of getting the concepts down. And you make cards because you want to execute and show proof of concept. But, some cards make it through the process, but a lot don't. And so a lot along the way is you make cards that are kind of cool ideas, and sometimes they inspire other cards. Sometimes, for whatever reason, they don't work and they get changed.
Yeah, I have a folder at my desk that's all of the cards that I've made that have made it to print. And the reality is, as you said, I've touched hundreds of cards.
Yeah.
But the number of cards that have a recognizable, you have enough of your DNA in it where you can say, like, yeah, that's my card, are very small. You have a couple that you make that you fall in love with. Every now and then you get a brain to print. A brain to print is a card where you design the card and it just works and everything ends up being printed exactly as what you designed initially.
Yeah, those are hard. You don't get those that often.
I was very happy. I did get one in this set.
In Kaladesh. Okay, what's your favorite Kaladesh card that you made?
My favorite Kaladesh card I made? Oh my goodness. There's a lot. I'm going to cheat and choose 2.
Okay.
One was Rashmi Eternity's Grafter.
Okay.
Which was a top-down design for the idea of Rashmi was that she had sort of...
She was an
inventor, and she had sort of like seen how to sort of break through time and space. She had sort of like developed the technology that would lead to the planar bridge.
Yeah.
And so my design for that was basically... it ended up being like a cascade variant. It was very close to the final card, which is whenever you cast a spell, look at the top card of your deck. If it costs less than the spell you cast, play it. Otherwise, put it in your hand.
Okay.
And then the other one I really loved was Multiform Wonder, which was an a Morphling variant, but with energy. And it was a shame that we'd already used the name Aetherling for it, because it would have been perfect.
Okay, so what is my favorite design I did for...
What's that?
Panharmonicon.
Oh, Panharmonicon.
Yeah.
Which I believe was called either Thingamajig or Whatchamacallit.
So what happened was, so I did the first half of the design, handed the reins over to Sean Main, then did the second half, and we were both on the team the whole time, but we sort of were co-leading it. And it was during Sean's part of it, and Sean said, we're low on just weird artifacts.
Yep.
So I said, okay. And then I named them all like Thingamajig and Whatchamacallit. So I don't remember what the original name was, but I just like the idea of, I like doubling things. So I'm like, let's double all ETB effects. So I thought that was fun.
You know what my favorite playtest name was?
Okay, what was your favorite playtest name?
So on the card Aetherflux Reservoir,
okay,
which was whenever you cast a spell, gain 1 life for every spell you've cast this turn.
Yeah.
And then it says, pay 50 life to deal 50 damage.
Right.
The playtest name of that was Storm Hospital.
Yeah, that's cute. Okay, so any other like stories about individual cards you remember?
One of the things that we designed to support vehicles was we wanted to have cards that were good to crew vehicles. So we had a couple of cards that said, hey, whenever I become tapped, do a thing. Well, I think we had a pinger and maybe a looter as well, that were just cards that weren't.
Yeah, it ended up being a red-white thing, right?
Yes,
I believe that's... We tied him to the dwarves and ended up being a red-white thing.
Right. But then the other one we did was we had a couple of pilots that were just really good at driving cars. And my favorite was the Speedway Fanatic, which is just a 2-1 with haste that whenever he drives a vehicle, he gets haste. And I just loved the image we had from the beginning of that card concept of just this maniac who hops in a vehicle and runs away with it.
Yeah, that's a cool card. Okay, so anything that people who... Obviously, people have played with it. I mean, it's been on quite a while. What might not people know, like from behind the scenes, what is the most surprising thing behind the scenes people wouldn't know about the making of the set?
Oh, my goodness. That is an excellent, excellent question.
I'll start since what were you thinking? So one of the things that was very interesting about it was the set in the end ended up being very artifact-centric. But for most of the design, we made a conscious decision early on to not focus so much on artifact matters and just try to make really cool interactive stuff. And in the end, we ended up putting in a layer of artifact matters because it's an artifact set. But a lot of people think that's where we started. And really, we did not do the artifact matter stuff until way, way late in the process. We spent a lot more time trying to make cool interactive things because we were doing the inventor feel. And so a lot of people, when I talk about where we started, like we started from a very different place than I think people think we do.
You had a big mantra from the very beginning, which is that this artifacts here are technology and not biology.
Yes, yes.
And one of the ways that I feel like we, to me, the non-tribalness of artifacts, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. was part of the expression of that. Of these artifacts, we don't care about the artifacts because they're artifacts. The artifacts are the things that we that help us live our lives and help us do our thing.
One of the things you'll notice, by the way, if you look through the art, something that the creative team did, is most of the spells have a technological origin rather than a pure magical origin. I mean, magic fuels the items, but it's very much like people are using technology to sort of do the magic of this world.
Right.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Here's a fun little story about the Gear Hulks.
Okay.
So,
which were not in till development. They came in late.
They were out in the development. I was participated in the development team for a short portion of that as well, which was very exciting for me. But when we were doing the Gear Hulks, we knew that we wanted... development had a request to have some artifacts that required colored mana.
Yeah.
Because they need... one of the challenges with an artifact set is that you lose a lot of your color pie safety and color pie pushing you to do different directions. And so we wanted to have a set of high profile artifacts. And when we were designing them in development, we got really quickly to four of the five. Everybody but the red one, we said it should do this. Yep, that sounds great. We did it. And the red one, we took a long time to get to the right one, and that was a situation. We had an ability that was powerful, but not particularly fun, and we ended up having a discussion about whether we should have that more powerful ability mm-hmm. or the one which ended up on it. The ability that's on it is when it enters the battlefield, your opponent chooses to either let you draw three cards or take damage equal to the total converted mana cost of the top three cards of your deck, which sometimes is a couple damage and sometimes is 12 or 15 damage. It could be a very swingy, and it put your opponent in a really awkward position. And even though that card was less objectively powerful than the one that we were considering mm-hmm. In its place, we fought really hard to make that one the one we kept, because it was just so much fun to play, even if it wasn't necessarily the most powerful card.
Yeah, well, one of the things that's important when you're designing is being fun is more important than being powerful. I mean, not that we don't make powerful cards, because we do, but you want to make sure that there's good things you get to experience, and that one of the things that I like a lot about Kaladesh is it is definitely one of those sets that has more weird cards in it. That part of us trying to capture the Inventor's Fair and that sort of feel was we did a lot of weirder cards, and we pushed down in rarity. Like, a lot of things that would normally be a rare artifact, we pushed down to uncommon to get sort of that quirky sense. And Kaladesh has a lot of that quirkiness to it. One of the things I'm a big big fan of Kaladesh, so I like playing Kaladesh.
I had a great deal of fun, too. One of the other things that we had a lot of, just we're trying to hit the tropes of a very positive world, and so we had cards like Padim, the Consul of Adventures, which was just saying, like, hey, who's got the coolest thing? You get a prize.
Yeah.
And it was really fun to be like, look, we've come from, I think we've just come from
Kaladesh was... Oh, we'd come from Innistrad.
Yeah, we'd come from Innistrad, and we're like, we've been someplace really dark and scary, and we'd, right before that had been battle for Zendikar, so let's just have an upbeat set. And it was fun to try to find ways, in a game that's fundamentally about combat, to say, let's have some constructive and positive tropes that we're trying to hit. And that was a nice way to sort of hit some fun top-down designs there.
Yeah, so we're not too far from my house. So thinking back on Kaladesh, what is your favorite memory of working on Kaladesh?
So it was actually after we had finished the main part of design, we were having we do a thing called play days now, and we had done something like a large draft with a lot of people in it to sort of get ready for a handoff to development. I just remember building the most Johnny deck possible. I had a Panharmonicon, I had infinite energy, and just, you know, I've been playing this game for 20 years, and to be able to do unplanned things with cards that I designed, it's a little sappy, but it was just a moment I'll never forget, that I, you know, drafting card after card and design, I would actually, you know, be like, this card doesn't go in my deck at all, but, you know, I'm going to splash blue because I need to get my Rashmi in this deck. So, you know, I consider myself incredibly fortunate to have the job that I have and the opportunities that I do, and I'm going to get all sappy here, but I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to participate in the set. Thank you for running the Great Designer Search so I could get up here in the first place.
Oh, you're welcome. It was great having you on the set, and it was a lot of fun. I really, really had a great time making Kaladesh. Kaladesh was a real fun set to build, and it is still one of my favorite sets I've made, you know, that I've led, it's a really fun set. But we are now arriving at my home. So I just want to wrap up by thanking you, Scott. It was fun having you both for the both podcasts.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. And just so people know, in order to be on this podcast, Scott drove to my house from far away just so he could be on the podcast. And so I've had a couple other people do that, but it's always a big honor when people go way out of their way just so they can be on the podcast.
Well, it was a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much.
Well, thanks. It was fun talking Kaladesh, but we are home, so we all know what that means. I mean, it's time to stop talking magic and start eating dinner. Woo-hoo. So I gotta go, but anyway, guys, thanks for joining us, and I'll see you all next time.